When you close up shop in one place and then move to another,
it's useful to take stock of what you've accomplished.
Hi, this is David Alan Greer.
And Tamara Carlton.
For How We Manage Stuff. In this episode, we'll give you a summary as we prepare to leave Washington, D.C.
Before we go to look at the startup culture of Seattle.
David, Tamara, before you get started,
Sully?
I just wanted to let you know that Vinny and I are taking Maddie to the National Academy of Engineering, and we'll go to the airport from there.
Not Evelyn. She was the one who promised to take her to the Academy in order to see a memorial of Lillian Moeller Gilbreth.
First, we're not certain that there is anything for Gilbreth at the Academies, though it would seem a perfect PR opportunity. Second, Evelyn has to do a few things to pack up the office, and to be honest, I think she needs a little break from a little kid that runs her own company. She's staying here.
Have a good trip. We'll see you at Reagan National.
We have a quick summary of ideas that we explored in our nation's capital.
We spent some time looking at the foundational ideas of science policy, a form of management that has two fundamental goals. The first goal is that of linking science to the needs of the government. We want scientists and engineers to do things that support the national interest.
And the second goal
is the task of managing science and technological development, which is an especially tricky form of management.
It is. And it's really the lesson that we can take from Washington that touches all aspects of all high-tech organizations. People who manage high-tech development have to balance two very different sets of forces. The first is the force of technical excellence, the need to do good scientific or engineering work.
And the second force is the force of finance, the need to make good use of resources. And money is strong. If left unchecked, it will almost always trump scientific work.
So in these Washington, D.C.-based podcasts, we've been considering five principles that the U.S. government uses to shape its approach to science and technology.
Five principles that were articulated at the end of the Second World War by MIT engineer Vannevar Bush in a report called Science, the Endless Frontier.
None of these five principles is especially novel.
Because we're so used to all of them.
True. The first says that funding for science or engineering should be stable.
Because science and engineering require a long-term investment. I spent years studying DARPA and saw clearly that they just couldn't fund for the short term and hope to get a great discovery or technology. The second principle says that science institutions should be run by people who are able to do their jobs, but understand and are sympathetic towards science.
Rather than just being scientists. Many people think that science can only be managed by scientists.
Though many technology managers are former scientists.
True, but managers are managers. And scientists are scientists. Rarely do you get the two sets of qualities in a single person at the same time. The important thing is that science be managed by someone who understands and appreciates the scientific method. If we move to the third principle, it says that the government should do research by contract.
Which means that the research tends to follow the trends in the tech community rather than the ideas of a large, self-perpetuating government bureaucracy. Principle 4 says that government offices shouldn't interfere with the internal workings of contractors.
Especially universities.
Oh, heavens, yes. Getting involved in university operations is a recipe for trouble.
Even your program at the great Stanford University?
Just like yours at George Washington University.
Oh, sure. And the fifth principle is that the leader of any scientific agency is responsible to the president.
And can be fired by the president. The rules of a democracy outrank the claims of science.
Though, as we noted in an earlier episode, this principle once really tested the government and once pushed government science into a crisis.
With Gomez Adams' father?
Oh, good. Now we're going to have to explain that reference.
No, we're not. The audience should just go to the old episode in the archive and listen to it. It was a good episode.
It was, and it showed how the relationship between governments and technology is really quite complex and sensitive. And now we're going to go to the National Academy of Engineering.
And we'll follow Maddie, our 8-year-old entrepreneur, as she goes in search of Lillian Moeller Gilbreth, who was the first woman elected to the Academy.
Aren't you excited?
No.
But we're in the National Academy of Sciences building.
So?
But your hero, Lillian Moeller Gilbreth, is a member.
Sure.
Maybe they have something about her.
Probably not. She was only an engineer and only a girl.
Let me go check.
You'd think they might have something.
This may be a stuck-up old place, but they can't be that dumb. They'll promote every female member they have. I'll be back.
This is a stupid place.
Maddie, are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you sad that we're going back to California?
I guess.
You got upgraded to business class.
So?
We get chocolates and a copy of the Financial Times.
All right.
Anything?
No. Sometimes they have pictures of women members for special display, but nothing now.
Shall we go see the Great Room?
No. It's silly.
Oh, the Statue of Einstein? They said you could climb on it.
That's just dumb. They do statues for boys, but for Lilia Mola Gilbreth? Or even Lise Meisner? She's almost as important as Einstein.
We know they're important, and someday...
Wait, Nap, what's wrong?
Nothing.
Oh, it can't be nothing. If you're moping about like this, it's not because we're going back to California.
No.
Is it your mommy? Or your daddy? Have you heard from Dubai?
No.
School?
No.
Your friends?
Don't have friends.
Is it your startup? Is it Invisible Friend? Oh, Maddie, talk to me. You know I had a startup once, too.
Side pocket. I know.
And I loved it very much.
I know.
And I lost control of it when the market
but
changed.
They remember you, and nobody remembers Lilia Mola Gilbreth. And... nobody remembers me.
Oh, that's not true. We're all going to remember you.
Oh, Maddie, don't cry.
Not crying.
No, you're not. You're a strong leader. Come and tell Vinny what happened. CEO to CEO.
Well, you know how we wanted to call a company Imaginary Friend?
Instead of Invisible Friend, yes.
Jamal said we could.
Who's Jamal?
The CMO.
The Chief Marketing Officer.
Jamal said that he had got the URL and the app name on iTunes and on Google Play.
For Imaginary Friend.
Yes.
But he didn't.
No.
When did you find this out?
When we tried to build the webpage.
And the URL was owned by someone else.
Yes.
What did Jamal say?
First he said that he had it, but that someone else stole it. But I did Who Is and saw that he never had it. He never did. And so I told him that he had to take a time out because he'd lied to the company. And he said he didn't. And I said he must. And when he was going to the timeout, he kicked over a chair.
He kicked over the chair.
And he kicked over the chair. And I thought, he is not ready. He's not ready to be CMO if he lies and then kicks over a chair on his way to the timeout. And so I fired him.
You what?
I fired him right there and said that he wasn't ready for leadership.
Oh, Queen Mab, that was the right thing. He wasn't ready.
But it's just a kid's...
It was the right thing to do. If you didn't fire him, the whole company would have suffered.
But... Chloe...
What about Chloe?
Jamal is a friend of Owen, who is Chloe's brother. And because I fired Jamal, Chloe isn't going to invite me to her birthday party.
Oh, Maddie.
And she's going to have glitter face paint. And everyone will know that I'm not there. And they will know why. And I'll miss everything. And I'll miss the glitter face paint. And no one will remember me. And I really like glitter face paint.
Come here, Queen. Let me give you a hug.
Okay.
We're going to go outside. And I'm going to get a picture of you sitting on Albert Einstein's lap. And then we have to go to the airport so we can fly to California. You and Mr. Vinny. And we'll have business class. And they'll give us the Financial Times.
And glitter face paint?
I don't think so.
You look funny in glitter face paint.
You don't think I'd look good? I'm offended, Queen Mab. With a little glitter on my cheeks, I'd look like an African king. And when we get to California, maybe Mr. Vinny will be your CMO for a while. Give Vinny a smile. Ah, that's the Maddie I know.
Could you be my mentor?
I'm sure.
Because you'd be a better mentor than a CMO. I mean, you could be CMO, and you'd be a better CMO than Jamal, but you would be a really, really good mentor. The bestest.
I'd like that.
Yeah. Oh, and then we could go to Seattle, because the podcast is going to Seattle, and I've always wanted to go to Seattle, because they have the best startups in Seattle.
We've been down this road before, and we know where it leads.
Please. Please, 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 please.
And is the podcast going to Seattle?
Yes. David and Tamara announced it this morning.
Yes. But we have to do it right. None of this showing up at the airport on your own.
Yeah. And can we bring Mr. Skippy? Please, 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 please.
Warned you.
He could be the CDO, the chief dog officer, and you would be the mentor.
We'll bring Mr. Skippy.
And do you think we could hire somebody at Microsoft to be CMO? That would be a good place to get a CMO.
See, you couldn't be in any deeper if you financed her entire A round. We have to catch a plane. I'll call an Uber.
Can we do an A round? And then an IPO?
Outside, outside, before Mr. Vinny agrees to a leveraged buyout of Microsoft. We're going to meet our car next to the Einstein statue.
Can I please, please, please climb on Mr. Einstein?
Why don't you? Just wait here. Maddie, come. First step on the road to a leveraged buyout. Microsoft better protect itself, because trouble and strife are coming.
Vinny! Standing on Einstein's shoulders.
Yes, you are.
And there's our car. Come down, Maddie.
Time to go, Maddie.
Catch me, Vinny.
Into my arms, Queen Mab.
Never do a podcast with child entrepreneurs.
They'll steal the show.
If not your heart. This is David Alan Greer.
And Tamara Carlton.
As How We Manage Stuff leaves Washington.
Take care. See you in Seattle next week.
Once we were a podcast about cutting-edge ideas. Now we're a sentimental show about a cute kid, a crotchety entrepreneur, and a puppy. Subscribe to How We Manage Stuff through iTunes or Google Play or our website, howwemanagestuff.com, or Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever fine podcasts are sold. This is episode 16385 and is copyright 2016 by Jaggi LLC, all rights reserved.